Hi, you're listening to Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. SincerelyMrsMommy.com is a mom lifestyle blog dedicated to sharing authentic tips, advice, and inspirational stories for the modern mom. Our goal is to encourage you to grow, thrive, and be confident in every role that you lead. My name is Desiree Ofori. I'm the founder and the host for today. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sincerely Mrs. Mommy the Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Thank you so much for giving us a go and just tuning in and seeing what this is all about. I hope that you get much inspiration from this episode and that you are so inspired that you share it with other people, with your other mom friends, with your sisters, with your cousins, with your aunties, and whoever else you feel like could benefit from this episode and this podcast as a whole. So thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. You're welcome back. So today it's just going to be me. The last couple of episodes, we've had some special guests, but today is just me. And before we go in, I want to highlight a couple of things really quickly. So the month of April is Autism Awareness Month. And last year on the blog, we had a three-part series. It was called Authentic Convos, Autism Through Our Eyes. And it was with three moms who talked about their experience with autism with their children. They talked from the beginning of the diagnosis and what that experience was like, all the way to trying to navigate figuring out therapies and the different things that they had to have in place for their children education-wise and whatnot. And also they talked about where they are today and how others can help and be just more sensitive to children who have autism and who are diagnosed with autism. So definitely I will have the link to that series in the blog post that correlates with this episode. So that is Authentic Convos, Autism Through Our Eyes. You definitely want to check that out. I want to shout out to all the moms and dads out there who are rocking it, the caregivers, the grandparents, the family members who are rocking it and just being in the corner for those who are diagnosed with autism and who are just loving on them where they are and growing as they grow. So shout out to you guys. And for those of you who may have autism as adults and who are tuning in, shout out to you as well. I believe you guys are special. And not in a, like, you're a special needs way, but like special just the way that you are able to be in tune with whatever it is that interests you and just in life. Like, you just are able to see life differently, and I just appreciate that. I just really do appreciate that. So shout out to you guys. And the next thing I want to highlight is this week, April 11th through April 17th is the second annual Black Maternal Health Awareness Week. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, in America, we have an epidemic where Black women are dying 3 to 4 times more than US-born white women due to pregnancy and childbirth-related complications. It's not just with pregnancy, with the miscarriages and the stillbirths and low birth weights, but also with childbirth and not being heard and not having complications afterwards and not being taken seriously. And then there's also the postpartum period that a lot of people forget about. I think just in America in general, like, we are so backwards when it comes to the postpartum period, which is one of the most important, because you don't just have a baby and then that's it. Like, your body up to a year and more is still trying to regulate itself and get back to normal. And there's a lot of things that's going on with your body that people tend to, you know, ignore and just kind of brush aside. And so I just feel like it's important for us to remember all the stages of the maternal life season, from pregnancy, conception, all the way through to that first year postpartum I just think that it's important for us to, black women, to, you know, speak up for ourselves, to pay attention to things that don't feel right within us. And if we are not being heard by our healthcare professionals, then don't be afraid and don't feel bad to go and find somebody else. I had to do that with my first son. I think I was halfway, more a little bit more than halfway through the pregnancy, I think, when my doctor said something real crazy off the wall, and I was like, nah, I don't feel comfortable about this, and I switched, and it was so much better who I ended up switching with. So do what you have to do to make sure that you feel right, that you feel heard, that you feel okay, and that your child is okay, because also, black children up to a year, their first birthday, I believe the stats is, forgive me if I'm wrong, is twice as much as white babies in America. So it's just crazy, sickening, but it's the reality. This is America. America is a beautiful place, but it also has its issues, as well as other countries, but this is one of the epidemics that we have, and I just wanted to highlight that. If you have any questions or want to learn more about this epidemic, I actually do have a blog post about it that I wrote about a month or so ago, called The Truth About Black Women and Their Babies in America. I will have the link to that also in this blog post for this episode, so you can definitely check that out. I also have a ton of great resources on there for you to check out, videos, documentaries, articles, stats, like all of that jazz. So if you are new to this information and you want to learn more, definitely check out that blog post. And you can also check out Black Mamas Matter Alliance on the web. All right, so now let's get into this week's podcast. So the last podcast episode was episode 9, A New Way to Parent, Mindful Conscious Parenting. And I had special guests, my friend, Taisha Duhart, and she was talking about what mindful conscious parenting looked like. I've been on this thought process of, I don't want to parent harder, I want to parent smarter. The toddler years have been like, to me, and I just have not been enjoying parenting during the toddler years. I didn't realize how much of a control freak, I guess you can say, I was, until it came to having another little person with their own little ideas and their own little demands, be able to vocalize what they want. And sometimes, you know, toddlers trying to find their independence and whatnot, which is what they're supposed to be doing, it can counteract what we are trying to do as parents, and it can make it very difficult if we don't really know how to work with our children. I don't want to work against my kids. I want to work with them. Taisha talked about what that looked like for her. And something that she said is that it began with her, you know, the mindfulness was something that she practiced on her own. And so to add it to her parenting, it just, you know, was something that just came naturally. And so last week, I decided to do a blog post to piggyback on it. It was called Parenting, How to Practice What We Teach. And I'll have links to everything that I've mentioned from here and before, and even after. I'll have it in the show notes on the blog. But I took it in a spin of, what does it look like for us to, you know, try to teach our kids to be mindful or to do these different things, and then we don't practice it ourselves? So the four phrases that, you know, I said in the blog that I say often is, to my son, is take your time, use your words, take a deep breath. That was, you know, in one. 3, you can do it, be brave. And then 4, I love you. And so I wanted to take a look at it, of giving examples of how we use those phrases in our home and how you can in turn use it for yourself. And so it was just, it was a pretty good blog post. But I still wanted to take this a little bit further, this mindful conscious parenting, because I decided to give it a go and to try it out myself. And mind you, when I talked to Taisha and we did that podcast, I was about to be, I think I was either on the verge or probably somewhat in the midst of just feeling very overwhelmed with everything, you know, a lot of life responsibilities, things with the blog, things with my art business, just life in general. And I was just having a really difficult time. And so when I started it, I was kind of like not really in the right mindset to start it, but I quickly realized that I needed to, like Taisha said, it started with her. I needed to start with myself and be more mindful of what I am saying to myself, the narrative that's playing in my brain, and how that affects my children. Because, you know, kids are sponges. They pick up everything that we say, everything that they see, and everything that we do. And they're also sponges to our vibes. You know how they say your vibe attracts your tribe? Well, your vibes also affect your kids and how they, you know, react. So, for example, if you're having a bad day and you're running late in the morning, things are just doesn't seem like it's going right for you, and you're just, you know, angry, you're frustrated, you're irritated, naturally, you're going to give off those types of vibes to your children, and they in turn, most of the time, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say 99.9% of the time, unless they're just like oblivious to what's going on, they're going to feed off of that. And don't you notice that they become more annoying or more irritating, or they're more slower to do tasks, like put on their shoes, like, come on, hurry up, we gotta go. And they're taking the longest time in the world to put on their shoes. Like, that's a common theme that I hear often. And so, it affects them. But if you are, you know, happy, say like you guys are out on a fun family activity and everybody's feeling pumped and excited and you're feeling good, so naturally the kids are gonna be feeling good and you have a little bit more patience and you take your time, like that feeds off on them. So I realize if I am, you know, feeling anxious, or if I'm feeling, you know, sad or depressed or irritated or angry, that those vibes are gonna, you know, bounce off onto my children, and they are gonna act that same way. So if I even try to discipline, you know, in a nicer way, it's not really gonna come off like that because I'm not projecting those types of vibes towards them, and they're not gonna receive it. And so something that she said, that Taisha said, was protect the core of the littles. And that's just something that's really stuck with me. And I also came across a sermon by Sarah Jakes Roberts, who I absolutely love. She is T.D. Jakes' daughter, one of his daughters, and she had a sermon called Change Your Core. And I was like, man, this goes right with protect the core of the littles, because Taisha said we have to protect the core of the littles, and of course I want to protect their core. But then I started to think of, like, how can I protect my core? And then I came across Sarah's message about change your core, and I'm like, man, this core thing is, you know, it's kind of serious. And the analogy, or similar analogy, that, you know, she gave, that Sarah Jakes Roberts gave, was that the fruit, if, you know, if the core of the fruit is not doing well, if it's rotten, if it's, you know, just not, it's not healthy, then it's gonna affect the flesh, the rest of the meat, the rest of the fruit. It's gonna, you know, it'll start from the middle and it's just gonna like seep out into the rest of the fruit until the whole fruit is, you know, compromised and is not good anymore. That's not the exact wordings that she used, but this is what I'm giving y'all. So this is how I grasped it. And so it's just, if you have good seed, your core is good, then it's just gonna permeate through everything that you do. Everything else will be, you know, good. And so that's how it is with our kids. If we are pouring into them and we are nourishing them, good things, you know, sowing good seeds into their mind, you know, helping them to grow, stimulating their minds, their education, their character, their personalities, then it's just gonna be the fruit. Is just going to be that much greater. But if we are not doing that, then you know what the outcome will be. And that's the same thing for us. If And not to say that once spoiled, always spoiled, because like Sarah said, and I'm going to link it in the show notes, change your core. If you change your mindset, change how you go about things, you change your perspective, then it starts from the inside. And once you start to change that, it's going to affect everything else around you. And so I just, was thinking a lot about that. And so I decided to start working with myself and have a better attitude. Just be more mindful about what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, how I'm feeling, and checking myself. I started to do, which I've already been doing, breathing exercises with myself and with Samson, to try to help him. Like, if he's about to have a meltdown or a tantrum, we say, like I said, we say, use your words. We want him to be able to express in word form how he's feeling to the best of his ability. Because, if he can put words to the emotions, then it can't really overtake him as much. And then it also allows us to be able to, help him. We can't help you if you're just crying. Like, I don't know what that means. So even if your children are younger and they can't, express in word form like how they're feeling, they may be able to point, like, show me what's wrong or what happened. They can point, they can use sign language. There's different ways of understanding what your kids need. But we start using breathing techniques with him, and that just comes from, my background as a mental health counselor. And so, of course you practice on your kids. And so, lucky for Samson. But I wanted to take it a step further and not just show him how to breathe, but to do an activity with it. So he's been doing breathing. Sometimes he'll breathe, and I realized that I had to practice it. So when I'm feeling, flushed and overwhelmed, the last couple of weeks I've decided to like just pause myself and like just pump the brakes, slow down. Desiree, is this situation life or death? If it's not, and majority of the time it's not, then just calm down, relax, breathe, and let's just focus on how we're feeling and letting go of the tension that we're feeling and slow down so that the next steps and the next moves that we're making are more positive and more thought out, and you have a more clear mindset. And that comes with that, being conscious and being mindful of what's going on around you and what's going on within you so that you can have a better result of how what's the word I'm looking for? How you react to things. And so with Samson, one day I decided, okay, we're gonna add some activity to this, because sometimes I'm telling you to, to just breathe, and you're just in the moment and you need something to like just kind of put a wall up to be like, hey, let's just nip this in the bud right now. You're going too far. I need you to come back. Let's refocus on something else. And so we started doing what we call a stretch, hug, and breathe. And so we stand straight, we lift our hands, and I'm gonna get Samson to do a video with it because he's pretty good at leading it now. We take turns leading. But you stand straight, both feet planted. I would say your feet to be shoulder width apart. And then you stretch and lift your hands all the way up above your head. Stretch, 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 stretch up. And then you stretch, 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 stretch down, bending over down to try to touch your toes or as low to touch the ground as much as you can without bending your knees. If you need to bend your knees, go ahead and bend your knees, get down. And then come back, slowly roll back up. And then hug yourself, give yourself a hug tightly. And then breathe in and breathe out. So we say stretch up, 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 up. Stretch down, 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 down. Hug yourself. Breathe in. Breathe out. And we will do that 3 to 5 times. And I will start it out. I'll do it about twice. And then Samson will, lead the last two. And then if we do it a fifth time, we do it again together. And it's been really helpful. I've been trying to do that at least 3 times a day. And especially in those moments when I'm like, I need to pause. And if I can't mentally pause and I'm having a hard time, I'll just stop what I'm doing and actually do that, you know, activity. And y'all, it does help. It does make a difference. It really does. And in the moments when I'm maybe driving or if I'm not able to do that because my hands are full and I just really can't stop and do the activity, I'm just more conscious of, am I breathing? Am I taking a deep breath? A breath in. Am I taking a? If I'm letting the breath out slowly, am I tense? Relax my shoulders. Relax my belly. Relax my mind. My breathing. Slow down my breathing. I may not even really be breathing. You got to think about that as well. So those are some ways that you can be mindful and conscious of what you're doing, so that the energy that you are giving off to your kids is a positive one, so that they can react in a more positive way. And mind you, this is not something that, you know, overnight I start doing this and they just get on board and they're like angels. No, it doesn't happen that way. And that's something that I had to learn also, because the first phrase that I said in the last blog post is take your time, pace yourself. I've had to learn really in the last 2 weeks, especially during the time when I took my week break at the beginning of April from everything. Like, I got off social media, no TV. I think I watched a couple of YouTube videos just because they were like inspirational and they just spoke to where I was in the moment. But the phrase that just kept rolling in my mind was pace yourself, pace yourself. And I felt like that was really God just saying, you need to just slow down. Yes. Your plate is full and there's a million things that you want to accomplish. And sometimes I feel like my eyes, you know, your eye, you ever say, you ever hear like your eyes are bigger than your plate. You feel hungry. And so you just pile on a bunch of stuff. And then when you finally go to sit down, you're like, wait, that's a little bit too much. But how do you finish a plate of food? One bite at a time. And that's what I have had to teach myself these last couple of weeks, is that it's okay for me to have like all these dreams and all these goals and all these, you know, tasks and things that I want to accomplish and have to do, but I need to pace myself. Many of them are not life or death situations, and so they can wait. You know, the marketing, the branding, the products, the, you know, everything that I want to do, they can wait. It's not a Many a times it's not, you know, a life or death situation. And so I need to pace myself and be more graceful to myself. And so we need to do that with our children as well. If we're trying to do a new parenting style, or if we're trying to teach them something new, we have to pace ourselves and allow them to give them time to understand what is going on and to accept it. Like they say, it takes 21 days to break a habit or to start a new habit. So you got to take your time. And that's something that I wasn't really wanting to do in the beginning, because I just wanted him to, you know, change and be better. But I realized like I have to change and be better, and it's taking me a while to get there. So it's gonna take him a while. It may take him, you know, a while as well. And so once I started changing my mindset and my mind frame around that, and being like, okay, let's pace ourselves, let's be more patient. Sure, it really irritates you to have to repeat yourself over and over again, but you're going to have to do this if you're going to want the results that you want. We can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If I want to parent smarter and not harder, like I have to think more and I may have to speak more in order to get the results that I want. And you guys, you know, after the first week was a little, it was challenging. I'm not gonna say it was a little challenging. It was challenging. But by the second week, I really saw a difference, not only in myself, actually within a few couple of days. Like Sunday, I was like drowning. I was at a 10 in anxiety and just feeling like really super low and just like just F the world and everything in it. I just don't want to even deal with nothing. To by Tuesday, feeling like, wow, okay, I could see the sun again. And all because Monday, I decided to, we can't stay in this mindset. We're going to take a break and we're just going to relax and we're going to pace ourselves So Monday was like my off day. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna just relax my brain, just take it easy. And then by Tuesday, that's when, I found a couple of great devotionals on YouVersion about parenting and pacing ourselves with productivity. And then I saw a couple of videos. My husband sent me this YouTube video of affirmations. And so I listened to that on Monday. And, I just started to just change my core. I started to change my core and decided that, my core was important and I needed to protect my inner self so that I could be able to give and that whatever I do will be positive and will have a good effect. And as I began to change within myself and noticed those changes and my spirits began to lift and the anxiety went down and the depression, floated away, I noticed that I was able to be more patient and more calm with Samson, and he in turn started to change and actually listen to the things that I was saying. So I started to focus more on, instead of the negative, the positive. And instead of the negative action, to focus more on the positive action of what I wanted him to do. So for example, if he was playing with Kingston and he and him and Kingston, if you don't know, I have a Samson is 3, he'll be 4 in June, and Kingston is gonna be 8 months this week. By the time you listen to this, by the time this goes live, he'll be 8 months on the 15th. But they're beginning to be able to play with each other because now Kingston's a little bit more mobile and, attentive or, whatnot. And so Samson is enjoying this, but he's also exploring, like, this is a little baby. He can do some things, but he can't do everything. Like, what's my limit with him on how, like, hard I can play or what I can do? And also just, like, discovery, like, he has little tiny parts. So, yeah, I want to stick my finger up his nose or in his mouth, or maybe I want to put my feet on, kid stuff. And so, Samson has been like trying to put his feet on Kingston, and I don't think it's in a mean way at all. It's just like just kids being kids. But so he put his feet on it. So instead of saying, "Samson, take your feet off of him, stop putting your feet on Kingston," the action that he would hear is putting your feet on Kingston. That part of stop or don't, like, that doesn't exist. It's just the action, putting your feet on Kingston. So if I don't want him to put his feet on Kingston and I want him to put his feet elsewhere, I have to tell him where to put those feet. So it would be, "Samson, feet on the ground. Put your feet on the ground." And the more that I said that, like, he got it. So as soon as I would say feet on the where, and he would say feet on the ground, and he would take his feet off and put it on the ground. And same thing with what was something else that we've been saying. Like with Kingston, for example, instead of saying no when he has something, he's putting something in his mouth, instead of saying don't put that in your mouth, because again, you're not going to hear don't, you're just going to hear put in your mouth, I now say out of your mouth. Take that out of your mouth. Or if he's holding on to something really strongly and I'm like, "Stop holding on to it. You're holding on too tight." I'm going to say, or I do say, "Let it go." That's the action I want him to do, let it go. So instead of, putting that no's or the don'ts or the stops, another great example is that I've heard before is instead of telling a kid, "Stop running," again, they're not going to hear the stop. They're going to hear the action, running. They're going to want to continue running. Instead, you would say, "Walk slowly." You want them to walk and you want them to walk slowly. Those are the two actions that you want them to do. And so I just started to, use those types of, just kind of like reverse psychology, I guess you could say, on what I was saying and the actions that I want them to do. And, by week two, I really started to see him picking on to it and actually repeating me. So one time he was throwing a ball in the house, and instead of saying "stop throwing the ball in the house," again, not you don't hear the stop, you hear throwing the ball in the house, throw the ball, that's action. I say, the balls belong on the floor, not in the air. So the first action I want him to hear is floor. So that ball needs to go on the floor, and then he would hear not in the air. And you know what? The next time he did it, I said, "Samson, where do balls belong?" He's like, "On the floor," and he put it on the floor. And I'm like, "Man, okay, we getting somewhere. We getting somewhere." And y'all, I will be honest, the last 2 weeks have been, I feel like my parenting experience, even though it's challenged me, it's been challenging only because it's challenged me to think more of what is coming out of my mouth. It has actually been working, and I have really enjoyed my son a lot more being his mother the past, especially the past week. We have just been, doing a lot better. And I feel like it's because, one, I have changed the vibes that I'm giving out. Two, I'm changing the type of delivery that I'm giving to him. And three, the wording that I'm using is helping. And so, how do we play this for ourselves? They say you got to think positive thoughts. Don't put negativity in your mind, because whatever you thinketh, I think, yeah, there's a scripture that says, like, as it is in your mind, so it is. Whatever you think about the most, that's what's gonna happen. So, for example, if you see a cop on the side of the road, ahead of you, and you realize, oops, I've been speeding and I'm trying to slow down, instead of thinking, "Don't come after me, don't come, please don't come, don't come after me, don't turn on your lights," your mind is thinking, your mind or atmosphere you're putting, "Turn on your lights," the action again, right? "Turn on your lights, come after me," even though you're saying don't. Like, just think about don't, stop, no, like all of those things that come before the act, all of those words that come before the action, like, they don't count. It's the actual action that counts. So now you can say, instead of saying, "You see that cop," you can say, "Don't come after me." Instead of saying, "Don't come after me, don't turn on your lights, oh, please don't come after me," think, "Stay right there. Stay where you are. Keep your lights off." And not even "don't see me," just "stay there." You can see me all day, but you stay there. That's the action. And that's what you want to play, keep, playing in your mind, the positive actions. And it's taken me a while to, realize that, and like, how do I do that? Because, it's so easy. We're like naturally, I don't even know if I can say we're naturally wired, but a lot of how we grew up in the conversation, the kind of speech that we have, it does have that negative connotation with it. I mean, because that's what we grew up hearing, and that just becomes a natural part of our speech. But we have to be mindful and conscious about, not just what we say, but what's going on in our minds and the positivity that we're flowing. If we want positive experiences in our life, like if you are feeling lonely and you want to have positive people in your life, in your circle, instead of, just kind of dwelling on, like, "I don't have anybody in my life. I don't have any good people. Everybody around me is negative. Nobody's doing anything with their life." Instead of focusing on that, you need to change the narrative and the replay in your mind that I want happy people to be in my life. I want motivational people to be in my life. I want, or even just start affirming it. I do have good people in my life. I do have smart people. I do have mentors. I do have, the income that I need. I do have enough money. I do have enough food in the fridge. I am going to lose this weight. I am going to get good rest tonight. You keep playing those positive actions, and they will start, you watch and see, they will start manifesting themselves to you. So think about that. This mindful consciousness, and some people, and church, religious people or people in the church may say, "Oh, that's that new age stuff and blah, 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 blah." And it's nothing. Like the Bible says, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new. You see the trends. What was around in the 60s, they come back. Every 20 years, I think the trends repeat themselves. There's nothing new under the sun. So when we're thinking like, oh, they're talking about the universe and blah blah blah, like the Bible talks about this stuff. It says, you know, write the vision down, make it plain, so that he who reads it will run with it. Like run with it, not just in a like physically somebody reads it and go, you know, runs and passes it out like news, like a little newsboy on the corner, like back in the day, news, read all about it. And not necessarily not speak, like it goes out into the atmosphere. It does go into the universe. It goes out into the world. Those words, they have vibes to them, vibrations. They go out, they resonate. And so if you are thinking positive, if you are affirming positive, if you are writing these positive things down, not just thinking them in your mind, you know, like people say, you know, write down what you're grateful for, not just in your mind, but like physically put some action to it. When we put the action to these thoughts in our minds, they have more ability to manifest and to happen. So if we are speaking positively into our children's lives and saying, you know, not that, or they're going to fail, or they're not smart, or they're just not good at math, or they're just not good at that. You speak the positive actions, they will start to not only, you know, absorb those positive vibes, but it will start to come to pass for them. And let them hear you say and speak those positive things over them so that it can start resonating in their mind and that becomes their positive replay and they will actually act it out. So, you know, like I said, nothing is new under the sun. It's just different ways of saying it for each, I feel like each genre, or not genre, each generation has a different way of saying it and explaining it. And it's all the same thing. We got to think positive. We got to speak positive. We have to affirm ourselves, affirm our children. And you know, you may feel like, okay, I've got teens, it's too late. You know, you can't think like that. You got to think positive. It's not too late. And not even think that it's not too late. I'm on time. I'm on time. Because I'm getting them right before they're about to be out of my grasp, out of my house. And be beyond, they might be beyond me. While I still have influence on them, they're still in my home. I'm going to speak positive. I'm going to speak things that I'm going to see change in their lives. So I just want to encourage y'all. I mean, this whole positivity thing, I know sometimes it feels like, oh, it's fluff, it's whatever, gone with the wind, whatever, fabulous. It's not. It's real. It is so real. If you do any research on like really successful people, these millionaires, billionaires, and I mean, you could go and watch YouTube videos, podcasts about like the top five things, top 10 things that these very successful people do. A lot of it comes down to, you know, positivity and what they tell themselves and what they believe, and it actually happens. And again, take your time, pace yourself. It may not happen overnight that you are like just speaking, you know, in the ways that you should to get the types of results that you want. You just take it one day at a time, one thought at a time, one affirmation at a time, and you'll get there. You'll get there, and it'll happen for you. And even if it's not perfect, because it may not be perfect at all times, that's life. It's just be real. At least you can, like I saw my friend Lisa Kirk, she posted on Facebook. It was, I can't find it right away, but it was something to the effect of, instead of striving for perfection and being miserable because you can't be perfect, strive for excellence. And, you know, again, take it every day at a time. You're not going to be perfect because, you know, there are variables and things that happen that are out of your control. Your kids may still have meltdowns because, you know, they're kids and they're still learning how to regulate, you know, their mindset and their emotions and their feelings. I mean, we got people 50, 60 years old still trying to figure out how to do these things that have not mastered it. And so give your 2, 3-year-old child, give your 7, 8-year-old, give your teenager a break, and you know, have grace and you know, be patient with them, be patient with yourself as you try to learn new ways to parent smarter and not harder. We've got this, you guys. We've got this. We can do it. We can do it. I believe in you. I believe in me. We got this. All right, so that's it for today. Thank you again for listening. I hope that you were able to get much, much out of this. And I will have links again, like I said, to everything from the autism podcast, not autism podcast, the autism blog post, the Black maternal health blog post that I did. I will have the link to How Married Are You? So you could check out that episode if you want to listen to that. I will also have the episode to Sarah Jakes Roberts' message of Change Your Core. And I think that was all that I mentioned in the podcast. But if there was something that you that I missed and you want to hear more about, definitely you can email me at sincerelymrsmommy@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at sincerelymrsmommy. And just hit me up. I'm an open book. Y'all should know this by now. Just by listening to this podcast, if you've never, heard from me before, you can see that I'm transparent, I'm honest, and I'm authentic. So definitely check out the blog for all of that information. And I will check you guys out on the next episode. Thanks. Thanks again for listening to Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. You can follow along with the blog post at www.sincerelymrsmommy.com. If you'd like to send an email, you can do so at sincerelymrsmommy@gmail.com. And if you'd like to follow us on social, you can at sincerelymrsmommy and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest. Be sure to share this with your mom friends and tune in next week for another episode. Thanks, you guys. Be blessed.